am special guest
Luke McCambly.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Hello everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Power Motion Picnic Hour. As always, I'm your host Dave, and as always, alongside me, also being your host, is
Trevor.
Trevor, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing quite well. How are you, Dave?
Doing well. Always trying to figure out slightly new and even awkwarder than last week ways to do the introduction to this show.
To do introductions, yeah. You know, I heard another podcast, which we won't name. I was listening to some older episodes where they had a very similar sort of intro style to us. Where the second host would sort of say his name in a similar fashion. And then I noticed at some point, I haven't listened sequentially, but at some point I believe they just stopped doing that intro.
Huh.
You know, rewriting the rules a bit. And that's something that we're familiar with as well.
We love rewriting the rules. But
of our own making.
Yeah. Cause like we made these rules and like they're not rules.
That's right. That's right. And I think this episode even is a very good example of that.
Yeah.
We expanded beyond our typical free Zoom 40-minute length constraint. We just went out there, we did it because we won't be victims of our own design.
No, exactly. We added a 10th inning to the proverbial baseball game that is this podcast because we wanted to hang on a little late to talk about Ken Burns baseball, and specifically I believe we were talking about what he called the 10th inning, because you know, as Ken Burns learned after he released that, baseball doesn't stop. Baseball history kept happening.
Yeah, very analogous to that. Yeah.
Anyway, we had a great lover of baseball and running and Greenpoint, Brooklyn on the show this week,
and trains.
That's right, we didn't talk about that though, huh? Did we?
We talked about train lines. We didn't really get trains themselves.
But we were joined by the Orange Runner himself, Luke McCambly. We had a great talk with Luke. About all those things.
Yeah.
And should we get to that now? Should we just go right there?
Let's do it.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
I don't love talking about myself, but but I'm on a podcast, so. my name's Luke McCambly. I'm a cartoonist. I make a comic about running that I publish on Instagram called The Orange Runner. It is primarily how I make my living, which is pretty cool.
And very cool.
Yeah, or at least to 8-year-old me, that's like pretty cool. Like, hey, I'm a professional cartoonist.
Yeah.
I used to run a lot. I run a lot less now, but I still run mostly a lot. I like running. I like cartooning. I like blues guitar, old-timey baseball, and trains. It's
nice. Awesome.
Big interest.
It's a good sort of confident collection of interests that may be related in some way. I don't know.
Sort of, you know.
Yeah.
Within a time period.
Yeah.
Semi-nostalgic.
I get the appeal of all of them, and they'll probably appeal to most of our listeners. So, you're in the right place. I think I could say that. And thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah. So we want to talk about the Orange Runner. We want to talk about your running history. We also said, maybe so we don't forget, that we would try to do this as a bit of a race recap of the Boston Marathon, because we're recording 8 days after the race. And we're going to be releasing it a little bit later, but you were just up there for the race.
I was just up there for the race. I did not run the race. I've never run Boston, but I did get to watch it from Newton.
Cool.
And it was fun to watch. And I try to go up there every year to watch it, because it's kind of like, you know, going to the Vatican on Easter. It's like a high holy holiday of the running world. It's
really,
you know, everybody's there for the same reason. Everybody's a runner in Boston on Patriots Day.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's a great tradition. I was down on Saturday. I live outside Boston, and I was down there. Even Saturday morning, they have the 5K.
Yeah.
And you know, some pros, but I don't know what the qualification standards are. But even like Saturday morning ahead of the race, it's just like Boston is just taken over with runners and running vibes, or at least Copley Square is.
Newbury Street is just packed. Like every brand has their pop-up shop. Everybody's doing a shakeout run. Everybody's like giving out a poster, a tote bag, or a, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's cool. You know,
was telling Dave, I was we saw and we were there for to meet some of the wheelchair pros, and so we got to go to the little like tent afterwards and meet a few of them.
Nice.
But we also saw, it was funny, I saw the winner of the men's 5K with like his silver, chalice bowl thing. And he had kind of, he was doing his cool down and kind of just hanging out in there. And then at a certain point, he was, I guess just ready to move on with his day. So he just kind of like walks out onto Huntington Ave carrying his chalice. I'm like,
Yeah.
that's just a funny scene, funny guy to like spot on the streets of Boston, just carrying his like first place trophy.
Yeah, carrying probably like thousands of dollars worth of like sterling silver in his hand, like that's a big deal.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Headed
But
straight to the pawn shop.
yeah.
Yeah.
Where's the nearest pawn shop?
Yeah, what do I do with this thing? I was gonna say Newton, so what are you, mile 17, 18?
I think I was at mile 19, so maybe a little bit after Newton. Heartbreak Hill Running Company always has like a really big cheer zone.
Oh, cool.
And I like running a little bit past that cheer zone, so I don't have to, because it's pretty busy. So if
Okay.
you want to like actually see people, if you keep going a little bit, you can get like open access to the course. And actually like make eye contact with runners, which is fun.
Yeah,
That's cool.
so did you catch a lot of the leader packs? I was sadly watching it on TV from a hotel in New Orleans, although I was glued to the women.
Bummer.
Yeah, I know, right? It was poor me.
Were you there for Jazz Fest? Is that like there was like a jazz festival going on? Is that
I wasn't jazz. Yeah, Jazz Fest started right after I left. I was actually I ran the Crescent City Classic 10K.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, in a non-competitive time.
Slightly hotter, slightly more humid,
Oh my God, the
probably.
humidity killed me. I don't even know how. I've never run a 10K that slow in my life.
Yeah, I think of all the runs in my life, I think like three of my top 10 worst runs have happened like in New Orleans.
Really?
Well, yeah, just because, like the weather is terrible and everybody's only in New Orleans for one reason, and that's like to party. So, you're not exactly setting yourself up for success.
No, well, and I'm there a lot actually, because that's where my wife's family
Oh, that's
is,
awesome.
and that's where she's from. So I've done a bit of running outside there, and I've even actually been there for, less exciting reasons than
Yeah.
most people. But no, even then, the humidity gets you. Her and I once went out for what was supposed to be like just like a half marathon length run, and had to call at some point for a ride home. We like just from wherever we were. And yeah, we got in Audubon Park or City Park. I can't even remember. I was getting so loopy.
Dave, where do you live? Do you live?
I live in New York, so
Okay.
I'm in Chinatown.
Oh, nice. I'm waving in your direction right now then. I'm in Greenpoint, so I'm reasonably close.
I learned this morning that you were in Greenpoint, because I was looking at your Instagram and I saw you going to the post office to ship off
There it
copies, yeah,
is.
copies of The Orange Runner, right? The first print
Yep.
edition, is that what it
Yeah,
is?
the first printed edition.
That's
Nice.
amazing. And I should say, I lived in Greenpoint myself for 10 years, so.
It's so nice. Like there are two types of Greenpoint. There's like Pencil Factory Greenpoint over on like the west side, and then there's like residential Cambridge,
Yeah.
like Polish Greenpoint, which is where I live, which is super cool because it's a little bit more quiet.
Yeah, I lived half a block from that post office, so
Nice.
I lived in that Greenpoint.
Yeah, that's great.
That is it still the slowest post office in the world?
I've been to a lot of post offices because I mail out all my own stuff. And they're pretty pleasant. Like they move pretty quickly. That's a nice
Okay.
thing with New York is that everybody moves with like some urgency,
Yeah. Okay, no, yeah, I left Greenpoint 6 years ago, so it's good to hear that it's sped up a little bit. Nothing against the
Sounds
people
like a
there.
neighborhood, but
I just felt like they were severely understaffed. It wasn't their fault.
all post offices are,
I know.
you're wait you're like you're sitting in a line of 15 people and you realize there's only one person working a window, so you're like, I have 15 people ahead of me. And then you think like, how long am I going to take? I'm probably going to take at least 3 minutes. And that's if I move quick, which means that I'm gonna have to wait for 45 minutes. Okay, cool.
It's always you're trying to like size up what the other people's business is. So it's like you see somebody like disorganized with, writing things down. It's like, no, they're not there to scan a QR code and ship it, Yeah, they got something going. They're cooking up something big.
There's a reason they're in the post office. Like they need help.
Right. Yeah.
Trevor, is this the first time we've gone deep into discussing the post office? I don't think so.
I don't know. I mean, it would be, I'm sure we've said some words of support for the post office over the years of podcasting, but I can't recall exactly.
We go off topic a lot, and this was us trying to stay on topic, talking about the Orange Runner. I mean, Luke, I think you're the first, right? Probably the first running visual artist we've had on, right,
I
Trevor?
think
Oh, cool.
so. Yeah, I'd say that's probably true. Yeah.
I'm saying, how did you get started? Like, how did you combine, your love of running and cartooning into one thing?
Yeah,
So
go
I
for
went to
it.
art school. I went to the School of Visual Arts, which is a cartooning school in Manhattan. It's like an illustration, it started as a cartooning illustration school and it's since expanded to like more practical pursuits like graphic design as well. But it started as like a cartooning and illustration school. And I went with a lot of really, really, really talented people. And all of my teachers were just really, really talented illustrators as well. Like it was like going to baseball camp and being coached by the Yankees. Like every teacher there I had heard of before, not every teacher, but like a lot of teachers I had heard of before I even went to school. I had like seen their art and like was so psyched to take a class with them. And then, a lot of the people in my class were just, they were very, very good. I took a few drawing classes in high school, but these people, like, they were coming in hot, like with the chops. And I think I got into SVA on grades alone and not the portfolio that I submitted going into it. So I was kind of like underwater the whole time. And also I got really into boxing when I first started school, which is like a weird thing to get into when you first start college, but I read a book and I really liked it and I thought boxing sounded cool. So I started boxing. And by the time I graduated, I was like a little bit more, or by my junior year, I was a little bit more focused on sports than art. And managed to graduate, like get some passing grades and graduate. And I had picked up running by senior year, because I read a book about it and thought it sounded cool. And running was just a lot more fun for me than art because I was like good at it for someone that didn't run in school. Didn't run in school, didn't run in college, just kind of picked it up after. And New York's a big place. There are a lot of races, and I like won a few of the smaller ones. And I don't
Oh,
know if
wow.
you've ever like won a race, but it's a pretty cool feeling.
That's
So
awesome.
I was like, I can just do this. This sounds good. So I did that and like worked at a running store for a while. And I still drew a lot. Like I would go places and like draw at coffee shops or like I did a lot of traveling. So like I would like travel around Europe and like paint landmarks and
That's cool.
from like Paris and to like Venice to like Florence, a few times I went to Stockholm, and so like I have some really cool paintings from that time. But it wasn't like I wasn't going to make any money at it. I was working retail and doing some watercolors while I traveled and like ran and ran races and ran reasonably well, I guess. And then one day I had an Instagram where I posted work, and it was mostly just my friends being like, "Good job." And then one day I was sitting at the store. I was working at a Nike running store, and I posted just like a drawing I did of running while hungover, I think. It was like, yeah, it was like a running while hungover comic. And Sidious Mag, back before like it was really, really big. It was still big, but like before it was like they're like Chris Chavez was like a friend of mine, and he like reposted it and then immediately got like 1,000 new followers, which was insane. And then I posted another comic the next day and immediately another 1,000 followers. And then like someone reached out and asked if I could like do a commission for them. And then a few weeks after that, like a friend of mine who worked at Nike asked if I could do some art for them. And then it just sort of like snowballed from there, really like organically and like kind of unintentionally. When I graduated from art school, the way that they teach you to get a job is you pour your soul into like 10 pieces that are indicative of who you are as a person. Like what makes you unique as a person, make 10 pieces like that. And then send them out to art directors who you feel like you morally and aesthetically vibe with. And hopefully they'll like you send like this physical portfolio with like a postcard. And hopefully And a friend of mine did this and went like the very traditional route and found like mild success. But he said he went to an art director's office and there was just bookshelves full of
Oh,
posts
yeah.
of just thousands of illustrators like looking to get
Yeah.
hired to do editorial work. And he was really good. Like he was, you know, one of the top of my class.
Yeah.
And he just said, like, I looked at that shelf and realized, like,
Yeah. How
I
do you
will
stand
never
out? And
be, yeah, like
yeah.
I'll never be able to do this. This is like too much. And so he pretty quickly got a job like designing t-shirts at Converse and did like very well for himself. And now he's like he owns like a tattoo studio and he's also doing extremely well for
Oh,
himself.
sweet.
But anyway, so point is, this was like a really talented guy, which I
Yeah.
was not, you know. So I just thought like there's no way I'm gonna play that game. I'm not even gonna try. And I didn't realize that just like making some stupid comics about running on Instagram was like a path to artistic success. If I had known that, I would have done it a lot sooner.
Yeah, exactly. You
But
started with that. Yeah.
you also, I think, you know, it's one of those things you kind of have to like come around to. Because I wasn't like flying in the face of any advice that teachers gave me. Like I had a teacher my senior year tell me like just make a comic every day and you're gonna suck for like the first year, but then you'll get pretty good. And
Yeah.
then you won't suck and then you'll get hired. And that's really essentially what I did.
Huh.
It just so happened that the thing I knew most about was running and I could speak to it in
Runners,
an authentic
runners.
and yeah, in like an
Yeah.
authentic and humorous way.
Most art school professors don't know about the running community, so they don't even know that's an
Yeah, and
option.
that's also the other thing is it really and you see like there's been this, a friend of mine puts it like the corporate co-opting of the word community, where brands just really try to lean into like community building and things like that,
Yeah.
and they do a really good job. Obviously the running world has proved that like the more you focus on community, the more successful your brand will be. But it really is, I think, unique in that respect, in that there are so many people I know, creatives and like non-creatives alike, who just make their living in the running world. It's like nothing else needs to exist. Like there doesn't have to be baseball or like football or, the US government. It can just be running. And that's
Yeah.
like, you can make your money as a photographer or a cartoonist or a producer
Or
or,
whatever. Yeah, anything.
whatever.
Yeah, I travel a lot for work, and it's funny. I was just traveling last week, and I was with one coworker, and then people at the site we were going to, and then my coworker couldn't believe. She was like, someone I talked to, because we all of a sudden found out we were both runners. And then she was like, it was like the two of you were best friends, and you were just like
And all of a
rattling.
sudden you realize you have like 10 friends in common too.
Yeah. And we were just talking about places we've run, and things like that. And he was recommending, I was in Charleston, South Carolina, so he was recommending I run that big bridge they have there, which I then did, which was awesome. It's like 2.5 miles across.
And there you
Oh,
go. Yeah.
yeah. And actually, how I found out about you and your Instagram page was I was on a work trip in Minneapolis, and I popped into free promotion Mill City Running, and what? Yeah,
Great story. Yeah.
and it is a great
Speaking
story.
of community building,
Yeah,
yeah.
what wonderful story. They were having an event that I didn't know was going on. And there was like a post-run party that I was in part of. And I was talking to someone there, and she told me about the Orange Runner. But like
There you go.
instant friends, instant community all over.
Yeah, it's pretty cool how that can just happen.
Yeah. It's very cool. And runners, like if you're a non-runner, probably the last thing you want to talk about is running.
Oh my God, yeah, it's so boring. It's
And
literally running in circles.
But if you're a runner, like let's talk shoes just for the next, 30 minutes. Like let's just go deep.
We can talk shoes, we can talk training methods. Like, are
Oh
you more
yeah.
Lydiard? Are you more like Ingebrigtsen? What do you got? Like,
And runners love a good sort of like self-referential cartoon, something that they can relate to, or all the memes and everything. Like so that's a nice little like niche or specialization to fall into.
And like none of, again, just to like reiterate, none of it was like intentional or strategic at all. It was just I had sort of the reason I got into running was because I read the book Once a Runner by John Parker. And I don't know if you read it.
I
It's a
have
little
not.
dated, but it's good. And it was such a cool story about this like collegiate miler trying to break four that and I was like boxing at the time, which is, I think, a pretty like badass sport, right? Like boxing is
Yeah.
kind of like badass.
Yeah, I think boxing. Yeah, I think it's cool as shit.
But then like this book made it seem like running was even cooler and even maybe more noble than badass, but like I was really into that. And so I was already doing road work for boxing, and then that's kind of what inspired me to get into running itself. But I always knew that, like, from that, like, oh man, I want to write stories as inspirational as that, and ideally about running, because that's something that I know a lot about. So very early on, like in my running journey, let's say, I was like writing some cringe stories about running. There's probably some poetry in there. I would like include runners in like landscape paintings I did, but it wasn't until I like kind of found the humor slant, I guess, that I was like, oh, this is kind of what works.
Yeah, and a lot of the comics you kind of touch upon the negative sides of running, right? Or when it hurts or when you're feeling down.
I've been trying to be more positive lately, because it's so easy to go negative. And then every now and then a friend will reach out and be like, hey, are you okay? Because the comics are really negative. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm fine.
This is
This
my
is
outlet. This is an outlet. I will say I do. I did like a recent one where you talked. I think there was a cartoon about not even being fit enough to like be fit enough to try to be fit or something. It was like a, I've been there, and it's like,
Yeah,
okay,
that's where I'm at right now. Most of the comics are autobiographical.
it's kind of where I'm at right now too. And it's like, and I was just out on a run today, and I was a very familiar loop that I've done a million times, and I'm like, my pace should be better, my heart rate should be lower, like what am I doing out here? And so yeah, it's good to know that you could commiserate with others that get that,
I think the nice thing about it is that I think there's like a certain knowledge that you're privy to if you've like been there, like podium been there. Like for like 99% of the rest of the runners, there's like sort of a universal experience that that transcends paces, where it's like, like how good it feels to go faster than you think you can go, how bad it feels to accidentally go too fast, how bad it feels to not be as fast as you used to be. And it's relative enough that it can be a little bit universal, which I kind of dig.
Yeah, somebody showed me a video a couple of days ago of Kipchoge talking about how the marathon is not about, how fast you run it. The marathon is about, and I wish I remembered the quote better, but the marathon is about running the marathon and finishing it and running that distance. And
Like,
yeah.
okay, cool, Kipchoge, but you
Said
also
the
would
fastest
like
guy in the
like
world.
I'm sure you would not have run as many marathons if you were not like winning, but it's a nice sentiment.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know if people would be quoting it if I said it with my solidly
Right,
middle of the
exactly.
pack
Oh,
authority.
look
Like,
at
oh,
how humble he like it's it yeah, he has the privilege of being humble,
I'd be like, oh,
as
yeah,
humble as I
exactly.
have to be.
I'd be like, oh, yeah, Kipchoge is fast, but actually, what it's really about is what I'm doing. In the Crescent City Classic in my division, because I pride myself on being so in the middle. And in my age group, I finished 309th out of 620. So, like,
That's
perfect.
you just made
Actually, if it wasn't
did
for
it
the
top half
humidity,
right there. Doesn't matter.
if it wasn't for the humidity, which I probably would have been too fast, and then it would have messed with my whole identity.
Humidity kept you humble, and in that is a life lesson.
Yeah, if I finished at 225, I wouldn't even know who I was anymore. So where do you run in Greenpoint? When I lived over there, it's funny. I liked it. Now that I live in Manhattan, I run Central Park a lot, and I'll
Yeah,
run by
obviously.
the river. But like when I lived in Greenpoint, I used to just like run to the track and then just do a million laps.
At McCarran. I have a friend that runs like exclusively loops around McGoldrick Park. It's pretty funny. Like you'll see him just circling it for 90 minutes. And so like one of the first weeks I moved there, I would like work at Variety Coffee, which is on Driggs,
Oh,
and just
nice.
like, sketch cartoons while I'm sitting out, back when they still had outdoor seating, when it was like cool. So I like sketch as I'm sitting outside and like watching the runners go by, and I could just watch him run for like 90 minutes. It was pretty fun.
That's amazing. Did you see that backyard ultra that they were gonna do in
They were
McGoldrick?
gonna, yeah, and then they like canceled it or something
The
because that's
city
too
made them, I think, or
much.
something.
With
Hadn't they already started? I feel like,
they,
or was that a different one? I feel like
I don't know. The
that
back, I
was.
can, I'm trying to remember what it even was now. Was it like who could do the most laps of McGoldrick
Yeah,
in
I think
like
it was
one
like,
day or something?
I don't know if they canceled it while it was like in session. It was to raise money for something. which isn't always, but
Yeah, they actually did it, but they had to change like what the actual race was, and they changed it to something like who could do the most laps of McGoldrick in a week, so that like everybody wouldn't be there at once.
yeah. Green point. We don't have the infrastructure to
Yeah.
support. There's no subway close by. We're not used to this foot traffic.
Yeah, whoever made that decision is not familiar with the ultra running world, where all of a
Yeah.
sudden people are dirt napping on the sidewalk,
Yeah.
and like I'll just turn this into a 1 week
Yeah,
event.
exactly.
Well, also Greenpoint used to be a little under the radar, right? You'd have to know New York a little deeper to know about Greenpoint, and at some point Greenpoint got quote unquote discovered, right? And now everybody knows about it,
Yeah,
I think.
now it's where people go out. Yeah, I think like the first time I went to Greenpoint was like 2017, or maybe even like 2018. So, and I've lived here since 2007. So,
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
and really that was just because I avoided the G train. Like the G train is, I've grown to love it, but it's like objectively just the worst train in
Oh yeah.
the
Comically
New York Metro.
short. In the old days, before there was like the signs that told you when the next train was coming, you just never knew when a G train was gonna
Oh
come.
my God. Yeah. I used to go to my friend's place in like Bed-Stuy, I think, in college. And in college you're out till late. And so I'd just be like standing on the subway platform at like 1:30, just thinking, like, maybe I'll get home by sunrise. Maybe I won't.
Maybe. Yeah, exactly.
City bike didn't exist yet. So it was like, take the train or walk.
There was no cell service down there either, so you were just totally.
You couldn't just scroll, you were just bored.
Yeah, but anyway, now if you try to have an ultra in Greenpoint, and also the ultra community has grown, I'm sure as well. Like it'll be like the helicopter shots of like people going to Woodstock,
An amoebus blob of people looping
It's just like the end of Field of Dreams of people walking into Greenpoint.
Okay, you asked where I ran in Greenpoint,
Oh
though.
yeah, that was the question that we didn't
So
answer.
I actually Greenpoint might be one of I've lived I actually earlier this summer I lived off of Myrtle Broadway off the JMZ train, and that was my final like punch for the subway bingo. Like I've officially lived off of every subway line then.
Wow, nice.
So
That's
I've lived
amazing.
in like a lot of places in New York, and I think Central Park is like my favorite place for training, just because you know what the distances are. You can train on the bridle, train on soft surfaces, whatever. And then I used to run there every day, and you would just like see a lot of the same people, and you didn't have to be like bold. You could just be like, hey, do you want to, like, we're passing the same landmarks at the same time. Do you want to just like run together? I made like a couple really good friends that way. But I really, really like running in Greenpoint because it's near all these like weird industrial, like scrap metal and wholesale, like shipping, whatever places that like don't get a lot of foot traffic, and the only like car traffic they get are giant trucks, which are kind of moving slowly. So I'll usually like, and I also have a studio up on Morgan Ave and Grand
Oh,
Street,
cool.
and so like same sort of vibe. So I'll usually like run up to the studio and then go across the Grand Avenue Bridge because it's like just this weird looking bridge, and you cross the canal at school. And then run through like all these like wholesale yards, and like, there's like beer distributors, and there's an Amazon warehouse, and it's all just kind of like run, everything's parked illegally and it's weird. And I just kind of dig it because I think it's like I like drawing things like that, and so I like running through things that I like to draw as well. And so I'll run through that neighborhood and then like go under the K Bridge, and then past like that, there's like the movie studio right across the river from Greenpoint, and so that's kind of fun to pass. And there, again, there are all these like weird footbridges with drawbridges and whatever. Like it's like bizarro New York over here, and so I kind of dig it. There's like a cool graveyard. So I mostly I'll stick to like my side of Greenpoint, and then like dip into Queens more than anything.
Okay, cool.
That's where I run right
I
now.
like that. I gotta try to expand my Greenpoint runs. I have a music practice space over on Newell, and so sometimes I'll run home from practice, which is actually like it's just because it's the quickest way home, and because it's not.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like a 5K over the Williamsburg Bridge, and I'm in
Cool.
Chinatown.
Easy. Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm waiting forever for three trains
Yeah,
or
forget about it.
whatever. But yeah,
I do like city bike. City bike is fun.
I've never done it.
Oh, it's I mean, I think one of my like top 10 activities, like reasons for being alive. It's like city biking, like on an e-bike, like Prospect Park in the summer.
Do
You don't
they
have to
have
work that hard. You're just flying, you know. You don't have to follow traffic laws. You can get you like
Yeah.
you can just you can get so far so quickly, and
Do
it's
they have
dangerous, but it's
a lot of e-bike versions of the city bike now?
They're
That's cool.
reasonably accessible. They're way more accessible in the winter when like nobody in the right mind is e-biking,
Yep.
but there's still a lot. I got like a port or a dock right outside my house, so
Oh, that's great.
usually like I'll just pop out, grab a bike, and then go to wherever I need to go.
I love it. That's
Little
cool.
city bike spoiled, but I love it.
Well, next time, Dave, we'll do a little Power Motion Picnic Hour e-bike
Yeah,
outing
city bike.
on the
Yeah,
city
city
bikes.
bike pod.
I've never rode an e-bike, and I sold my, regular track bike when I moved to New York in 2009.
I had a cool experience riding an e-bike. My only time riding was in the middle of the pandemic. I was in DC and didn't really want to go down to the subway, didn't really want to hop in a cab, and had to get across town. And I remember hopping on an e-bike and feeling a little bit dangerous out there
Yeah,
because
I
I
mean,
was flying,
it's
I'm
for
cruising
sure
across the
dangerous.
mall, I'm like shooting into traffic. I think I hit a curb or two, like what going off some curbs. Yeah, it was fun though. But as I think about it, it's a great way to get to, like, when I'm in New York, there's always some annoying run to get to, like, wherever I want to run, whether it's along the river or Central Park. It's like there's this excess, three quarters a mile, whatever it is, just with traffic, and it's
Yeah.
like, I should
The run to get to the run type thing.
just city bike my way there. I like it.
And
Yeah.
it's like it's quicker than cars.
Yeah.
And really like almost universally quicker than cars. Like anywhere you're going in the city, if you can e-bike there, it's probably gonna be quicker. Because again, you don't really have to follow traffic laws, but
Yeah.
Oh, I just want to let you guys know we have 4.5 minutes left. We do record on a timer. And I know there's two topics we've barely touched on. Actually, the biggest tangent was when we started talking about Boston and then didn't talk about the
didn't talk about
marathon.
Boston.
Yeah. So I wanted to say the best part I thought was the women's final, right? And we got what was it, Obiri and Locati.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little duel
Yeah.
there.
Yeah. And I think everybody thought Obiri was gonna, right, like was just saving up and gonna kick. But how did that look at mile 19?
It like this.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I guess they look good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and those two have been going at it, right? Because wasn't Obiri supposed to win? I think it was like the 2023 marathon, and On did this whole campaign about like, have you heard of Hellen Obiri? You will. And then Sharon Lokedi won it, and like this huge upset coming out of nowhere. And then like, yeah, she did it again, which is so cool. It's just like, it's nice when you have like duels and rivalries and that sort of thing.
Yeah,
there's a lot of good like stories around just the running
And
world,
that's,
but yeah.
you know, also I think you can't put runners together for more than like 5 minutes before they talk about like how to save running as like a spectator sport. But really, like that's why people care about the 1500 is because, you know, you get three heavy hitting personalities just like
Yeah.
talking smack at each other.
Yep.
That's a fast race.
It's also over quickly, so it's
Yeah,
easier to watch.
that's true. I just ran a 6:17 mile, so I'm last summer, so I'm
Nice.
feeling pretty fast
Let's go,
myself.
baby.
Yeah, let's do
Yeah.
this thing. I think that's faster than I could have run it in high school, so I'll take it. That's what matters, as me and
Yeah,
Kipchoge
exactly.
like to say. It's not about fast, it's about
About if you can beat your high school self,
Yes.
be a child.
Yeah. Okay, should we talk about baseball at all since we have 2.5 minutes left?
Oh,
Who's
yeah,
your
sure.
favorite baseball team?
The Sox. I was born in Boston.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, Trevor lives outside the city now, and I largely grew up around there.
Yeah.
And
Okay. Trevor, where do you live?
I live in Sudbury.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, a little west, about
Yeah.
50 miles west. Yeah.
Yeah. I had some cousins that went to school out there.
Oh, nice.
Sorry.
Did you grow up in Boston City proper?
I was born in Boston, and then I grew up in I spent like the first 10 years of my life in Wellesley.
Oh, cool.
Oh, cool.
And
The
so
Scream Tunnel.
yeah.
Scream Tunnel, for
I didn't know
sure.
any of this really growing up. I was like vaguely aware of the marathon, I think, because my mom ran it. But
Cool.
I didn't know any of this until I started running and learned a little bit about the Boston Marathon. It's like, oh, the Wellesley College Scream Tunnel. I was like, I used to
Yeah.
go running there. That's sick.
Yeah, that's one of like the coolest spots on the whole course. That's awesome.
But yeah, the Sox, it was rough being a Sox fan growing up.
Yeah, it was.
But like them winning in 04, I think was like actually a turning point. Both like I like it kind of coincided with like me hitting puberty as well. So I was like a very small kid that like not much going on for me. And then the Red Sox and like also I rooted for like the loser baseball team
Yeah.
among tons of Yankee fans, because I was in Connecticut. And so it was and then like I hit puberty and the Sox won the World Series and all of a sudden the world was different. Anything was possible.
Nice.
That's
I
great.
agree. I was living in Austin. It was the craziest, craziest thing.
Of all the moments that like didn't feel like real life, that was probably, the biggest.
That wasn't supposed to happen. Yeah.
Oh,
That
no,
was that.
that's I think someone sold their soul for that one.
Yeah,
Like
the biggest
especially coming back in the pennant,
the down 3 games and then to win 8 games in a row as yeah. No,
That's
it's like that would be
wild.
like if I won the marathon.
Right,
Right.
exactly. Like no,
Not this is not supposed to happen.
it's never happened before.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just I'll turn on movies sometimes for like background noise, and I was watching Moneyball. And so
We got
I
19
often,
seconds.
oh man, okay.
Sorry. Let's end on Moneyball. Hit it.
So watching Moneyball, and then I decided to watch the Ken Burns documentary about that era because I wanted to like learn more. And then it just went, that episode was all about the 04 Red Sox, and I just spent like the next hour and a half crying.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
All right, I would just like to say that I do like the way we end this podcast by
Yeah,
just letting it cut off chaotically.
yeah,
But
we can absolutely keep it that way.
no, but in this instance, we wanted to hear the end of your story. So let's pick up where we left off.
Oh no, it was just I was supposed to be doing work and I ended up watching like this hour and a half long episode of Ken Burns baseball and just crying because it was about like, Dave Roberts stealing second at like the bottom of the ninth and then like doing it again the next day. And then
And then
they totally glossed over A-Rod slapping the ball out of Bronson Arroyo's hand, which like, we'll never forgive A-Rod for that.
yeah.
But
That no, we needed to spend a few more moments on that series. I mean, and I don't think that we might have talked about the post office before on this show, and we very frequently talk about the seasons and compare our favorite seasons for no discernible reason, but I don't think we've talked about the 04 ALCS, and we probably should.
I mean the 04 ALCS and David Rudisha's 2012 800 meter Olympic final, I think, are probably my two favorite sporting events to talk about.
That's amazing.
We should probably be asking people about that more.
I have no one talking.
Game what was it, game four and then game with Roberts, like you said. Game six was cool because once they'd won game six, you just knew they were going to win game seven.
I mean, and I had been up until like, 3 a.m. watching the games pre, and I was like 15.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, I was 15, and like had to go to school the next day, every one of those days, and just like stayed up way too late watching the
Yeah.
Sox. And then so game seven, I went home and I was just like, Mom, I'm gonna take a nap. I'm gonna take a nap. Please wake me up when the game starts. And she's like, okay. And she didn't. She woke me up when Johnny Damon hit a grand slam and the game was like basically sealed at that point.
Oh my
So
God.
which I missed. I didn't actually get to see, which is a bummer, but
Yeah,
also
that's all
like
right.
good
No.
on your mom, like saving me the, just saving me the mental turmoil. So I kind of got to just enjoy the rest of the game.
Oh wow.
Nice,
Yeah.
nice.
I had to start it. We were 22. I had to start a new job the day after game seven. And I was, where was I? I was like down at Faneuil Hall and I had my
Oh my
bike.
God.
I had my bike, the one I sold when I moved to New York 5 years later. And like, I ended up having to like, I remember walking home from, where was I? Walking home from Kenmore Square with my bike to like in to Brighton Center basically. And then yeah, so we were up all night anyway. It was all worth it. It didn't occur to me that everyone else at work would have been up all night as well. So
That's true. Yeah.
Everybody was like, it's cool. The Red Sox just won the world.
Yeah, that's
Yeah,
fine.
won the
Yeah.
World Series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Or
they're in the
whatever.
World Series at
They,
least.
yeah, I guess they hadn't won the World Series.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't even remember watching the World Series because at that point, like, just beating the Yankees was so big, you know?
Oh, wait, I'm remembering wrong. The one that was game four. That was game four of the World Series. Game seven, I was in Austin, like I said.
Oh,
And
okay. Yeah.
yeah, I was in a bar with no windows. And when we went outside at the end, we didn't realize, but the streets were just flooded with people. It
Yeah.
was cool.
Wait, in
Amazing.
Austin?
Austin.
Oh, Austin. Got it.
Yeah, sorry.
Texas.
Yeah. I we'll have to have someone call in and tell us what it was like in Texas. Well, maybe but we'll wait till next week to update
I can't
that.
imagine anyone cared.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll make it a weekly segment. I got one friend in from Austin who was a Sox fan. A guy we
Let's
went to
do
college
some
with.
a
He's
little investigation.
Yeah,
Yeah.
we'll ask him for next week. We'll our Austin Boston Red Sox, our Austin Red Sox correspondent, we'll
Yeah.
reach out to him. He and I went to a Pedro Clemens match once. One
Oh,
sum
sick.
yeah, one summer his grandfather drove us and dropped us off. It was a great experience. Kind of one of my favorite baseball games I ever went to, actually.
Yeah, I bet.
Awesome.
So yeah. Okay. Well, Luke, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for calling back in. I think this extra segment was necessary.
I think so
Yeah.
too. Thanks so much,
Yeah.
guys.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour. Thanks so much, Luke, for joining us, and thank you for calling in a second time to have that unconventional but very exciting finish to the show.
That was wonderful. Yeah, thanks so much, Luke. Yeah, I really appreciate you coming on. Enjoyed the conversation. Just nice guy. Sounds like a very fast runner.
Yeah.
In our, certainly from our perspective, and a great and insightful artist and cartoonist.
That's true. We never found out how fast, but he did win some races.
He did mention winning races, which I almost I thought back to one of our early episodes, one of our first, where I think we pondered the question, have you or I ever won a race? And unlike Luke, we had to think about that one a little bit. And I think we decided that we had, but not races necessarily in the official traditional sense.
Yeah. I don't really remember that episode, I guess, but I believe you.
I believe it happened.
Yeah, I totally, it sounds like we
Back
would.
in the race to the tree days.
Oh, sure. Season one.
Season one. I'm talking season one now.
It seems so long ago now that we're really in the thick of it in episode two of season five.
Unbelievable.
I know, I can't believe how far we've come.
Just like Sandy Denny or Judy Collins or one of them said, who knows where the time goes?
Yeah, we've been podcasting for about 2 years on here, and I've cut like over 40 minutes off my marathon time.
That's unbelievable.
But my
I mean,
enjoyment level has skyrocketed.
my enjoyment level has stayed, it's ebbed and flowed a little bit. My fitness level has declined quite a bit in
Is there a
the
does the correlation imply causation, or do we think it's unrelated to starting a podcast?
No, there were other contributing factors. But I am back, and I'm actually excited for this weekend running,
Oh,
because I'm back. Yeah.
wow.
I don't know. Should we do it?
Yeah, let's do a quick weekend running before we log off. So tell us about your weekend running.
Sure. And then I know you had a big weekend running as well. So I had the pleasure, well, it was a big weekend running going back, I guess, a little further than a week to the marathon, which we talked a little bit about, and just the excitement around that.
Yeah.
But great time to be in Boston. But over the weekend, this past weekend, young Power Motion Picnic Hour apprentice and I ran the Bionic Project 5K in Cambridge. They do two races, one in San Francisco, one in Cambridge every year. Bunch of good sort of community stuff and school-based kind of education. But that was a blast. It was a really cool event. We ran the 1 mile, young apprentice's first official race, and kind of felt like the start of a
Wow.
new chapter of running for the greater PMPH family.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he took home the win, albeit uncontested, but
Still counts.
male wheelchair 1 mile, bionic 5K 1 mile winner, yeah, something like that.
Is there an age group for that?
There were no age groups, but
Wow. That's impressive then.
despite the lack of competition, I will say he was proud, and I told him that he should be proud because he was the only one that showed up.
Yeah, exactly. That's amazing. Congratulations from the pod to the young apprentice, old apprentice, aging apprentice.
The older of the two apprentices who may eventually listen to this one day, but probably not.
Probably not. But we hope someone passes the message along.
Yes. Yeah. And then just to round it out, I had two good days of just getting back to running. The doctor said, you gotta get running again. And I said, all right, these are now the doctor's orders. So I'm committed to at least doing, you know, just doing a minimum that should be comfortable, should be achievable, and just getting back into the routine, because that's been what's lacking.
Nice, way to go. Well, that's the thing.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. And then I'll do my weekend running. 10 days ago, I ran the Crescent City Classic, as I mentioned. Mind-blowingly slow, super hot. It was so humid, my body wasn't ready for it. It made me doubt if I was even as fast as I thought I was. But then I did a treadmill 10K the next day while watching the Boston Marathon. That might have been two
nice.
Or something like that. And then I ran on Friday. I ran that 2.5 mile bridge in Charleston, South Carolina, which was awesome.
Yep.
And then I ran a couple days ago. I ran in Central Park 8 miles, which was good. Made me feel like myself again. I'm just much faster in Central Park than I am.
Yeah,
with 100% humidity and in the deep south.
Well, I mean, hearkening back to the days when I was also running, you know, consistently and feeling good and going fast, I remember some days just were off days, right? And then some days it just clicks, even on like the same runs I'll do, same routes. True. And just some days I just feeling great out there, and other days it's just not, you know, the heavy legs, whatever it is. But life is funny that way, isn't it?
Yeah, it is funny. I've been feeling heavy legs. And I don't know what the experts would say, but I think the answer is always, how about another pair of shoes? so we'll maybe we'll explore that next time on the next episode of the Power Motion Picnic Hour. A dance back into the gear shed.
Yeah, well, in between seasons, I think I lost the mailbag. It might have fallen into the river, but I'm sure the listeners are writing in anxious for another gear shed. So we'll stay tuned for episode 3, and we'll duck into it.
Episode 3, we'll go back into the gear shed. We'll hit the mailbag. We'll do a week in running. We'll do all that. We'll do an old school episode, maybe.
Oh, we could do a song of the week.
And we'll do a song of the week. And anything else we've forgotten about, we'll do it next week on episode 3, season 5 of the Power Motion Picnic Hour. And as always, until next time,
onward.
Special guest,
the Orange Runner.
This is the Power